Chapter 25. Delicate business of his making them a regular allowance would become a natural proceeding. And so the zealous wishes of the neighbors, to give a geometrical shape to their story, were fulfilled almost in spite of the chief parties themselves. When he put the question to her distinctly, Marcia admitted that as he had always regretted the imperious decision of her youth, and she made no ado about accepting him. "I have no love to give, you know, Marcia," apostrophe he said. "But such friendship as I am capable of is yours till the end." ... It is nearly the same with me, perhaps not quite. But, like the other people, I have somehow felt, and you will understand why, that I ought to be your wife before I die. ... It chanced that a day or two before the ceremony, which was fixed to take place very shortly after the foregoing conversation, Marcia's rheumatism suddenly became acute. The attack promised, however, to be only temporary, owing to some accidental exposure of herself in making preparations for removal, and as they thought it undesirable to postpone their union for such a reason, Marcia, after being well wrapped up, was wheeled into the church in a chair. A month thereafter, when they were sitting at breakfast one morning, Marcia exclaimed, "Well, good heavens!" ... While reading a letter as he had just received from a vice, who was living with her husband in a house Pearson had bought for them at Sandburn. Jocelyn looked up. "Why, a vice says she wants to be separated from Henry. Did you ever hear of such a thing? She's coming here about it today." ... Separated? What does the child mean? ... Pearson read the letter. "Ridiculous nonsense." ... He continued. "She doesn't know what she wants. I say she shan't be separated. Tell her so, and there's an end of it. Why, how long have they been married? Not 12 months. What will she say when they have been married 20 years? ... Marcia remained reflecting. "I think that remorseful feeling she unluckily has at times, of having disobeyed her mother, and caused her death, makes her irritable," ... she murmured. "Poor child." ... Lunchtime had hardly come when the vice arrived, looking very tearful and excited. Marcia took her into an inner room, had a conversation with her, and they came out together. "Oh, it's nothing," ... said Marcia. "I tell her she must go back directly as he has had some luncheon." ... "Ah, that's all very well." ... sobbed the vice. But if you had been married so long as I have, why you wouldn't say go back like that?" ... "What is it all about?" ... inquired Pearson. "He said that, if he were to die, I should be looking out for somebody with fair hair and gray eyes, just to spite him in his grave, because he's dark, and he's quite sure I don't like dark people. And then he said, but I won't be so treacherous as to tell any more about him. I wish ... a vice, your mother did this very thing. And she went back to her husband. Now you are to do the same. Let me see. There is a train ... She must have something to eat first. Sit down, dear." ... The question was settled by the arrival of Henry himself at the end of luncheon, with a very anxious and pale face. Pearson went off to a business meeting, and left the young couple to adjust their differences in their own way. His business was, among kindred undertakings which followed the extinction of the well-beloved and other ideals, to advance a scheme for the closing of the old natural fountains in the street of Wells, because of their possible contamination, and supplying the townlet with water from pipes, a scheme that was carried out at his expense, as is well known. He was also engaged in acquiring some old moss-grown, mullioned Elizabethan cottages, for the purpose of pulling them down, because they were damp, which he afterwards did, and built new ones with hollow walls, and full of ventilators. At present he is sometimes mentioned as the late Mr. Pearson by gourd-like young art critics and journalists, and his productions are alluded to as those of a man not without genius, whose powers were insufficiently recognized in his lifetime. End of the Project Gutenberg, a text of the Well-Beloved, by Thomas Hardy. Well, by Gutenberg edition.